and teach in Conway, Arkansas, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday's flexible. I may teach or may not. And then Thursday, Friday in Hot Springs and then back. Please be in prayer in regard to the people and hearing and understanding the faith issue, which is what the people in Conway want to get an understanding of. So please be in prayer and for my travel, health, all that kind of thing. And, we went through the Galatians thing rather quickly, but I didn't really spend enough time on that passage in Galatians 4, where I think, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, we just kind of really went through it rather quickly. But in Galatians 4, Paul makes it clear that, let's see, verse 13 in chapter 4, but you know that it was because of bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. The point there is God uses our illnesses and our sickness sometimes. I know there's some preachers that preach, you know, if you're sick, it's because you're not in faith and you're out of the will of God. God doesn't make anybody sick, only Satan does. But here's a whole establishment of local assemblies because God had Paul be sick, and he couldn't heal himself. He could heal other people, but he didn't heal himself. And God used that. So, generally we pray in regard to good health and that for the communication of truth and those things and the people that will be there. A couple of things. Linda's mom, just a couple of hours ago, report. As you know, they were going to amputate the foot, couldn't do that. The gangrene had already gone into the body. So they took her off of all life support, and the doctor said, day, 2 weeks, it's just that point. And so this is there. As we would assume, Linda's just made a wonderful witness for the love of Christ in the nursing home, also in the hospital, but in the nursing home. And just a powerful witness. And please be in prayer for Linda and Dave. Their son's getting married next weekend. Her mother's lying there dying. Son's getting married in Bryan College Station. The mother is dying in Melford, Arkansas. So there's a lot going on in her soul, decisions to be made. And so please be in prayer for Linda and David at this time, and that everything. We know God's timing will work, but that Linda and Dave will be able to move in the power of the Spirit with God's timing on the entire issue. So please remember that. Tisha's mom doing much better, doing really good, and giving everybody orders in the house, so she's doing good. And Dad's doing good. We've been in prayer for a man named Irving in Hot Springs. It's Steve's uncle. And it's one of those kind of deals that, you know, they really thought he might go home to be with the Lord as much as 3 or 4 weeks ago. And it's just a constant, not getting better, not getting worse, just in that whole position, which is becoming quite draining on Sue and Jean's aunt, Marion, who's just a wonderful woman. Just a really wonderful woman. And so please be in prayer for them at this time. Let's see, do we have anything else we need to bring up? So let's be in prayer for Tim. How old was he? Yeah, that's what I thought. She's in her 20s. So let's be in prayer for them at this time. And David, how's your health? Still fighting it?
Yeah.
So we'll just bring David's name up. I think David's doing that, so we'll always be in prayer for him. That's one way. Always be say some prayer. So, and as always, let's be in prayer for each other, knowing that we are in the battle of the faith. Yes, ma'am. Really? Oh, no. Wow. Okay. All right, let's do it in prayer. For Liam, Larry's sister. And, okay, let's approach the throne of grace together in prayer and prepare ourselves for continuation. Tonight we move into a very important study as far as our momentum in spiritual love, and that is the prophet that love is to you. How it profits your life now, how it profits your life in eternity, or your life existence in the kingdom of God. One of the most wonderful things about spiritual love, and I'm thinking this way because of the study in John that was this Sunday morning. John's going to come. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of coming together tonight and opening up the scriptures to allow your spirit to illuminate the truth for us, Father, that we might see these things, that we might see what is really important. We're prone, Father, to make the wrong things important. And when we do that, it starts controlling our life. But the Spirit will cause us to see what really is important. And there's only one thing important. We praise you, Father, in the Son's precious name. Amen. One of the most wonderful things about spiritual love, Nicodemus, we're going to go through it, I hope, rather quickly, but Nicodemus is going to ask, how can I enter into the kingdom of God? And you have to appreciate the issue of a place to understand Jesus Christ's answer. And what Christ is going to do is really make this an issue, and a whole issue, all the way through John 3:16. The whole issue is an issue of place. And there's one place, earth, and there's another place, the kingdom of God. And these two places, you've got to think in terms of places, literal places, physical places, to appreciate these the things that are going to go on in John when Christ answers Nicodemus' question. And why Nicodemus isn't able to understand it. It's going to be a beautiful study in how we need the Spirit to understand the Scriptures. It's just one I hadn't seen before. And that's why another thing I do enjoy, and I hope you are, a rather, you know, like we did John 1 and 1 Sunday, John 2 and 2 Sundays, and we'll do John 3 probably and 2, but no more than that, maybe 1. And you get to see a quick momentum of things, and it's a beautiful passage on why we need the Holy Spirit to grasp and to understand if we think in our mind in the area of places. This is one place, and this is another place. And in terms of when we started going into space, you have to think in terms now of space. What will hurt the body? What kind of pressure uniforms do we need? What kind of diet? What kind of this? What kind of that? Because you're in an entirely different place. And when you go in that different place than Earth, things change. And we can even get a glimpse of that from the standpoint of our space operations in America. But this is a totally different concept of place. And what we're going to see tonight is what's going to profit you, and by profit your life, profit your existence, profit your soul, if you please, your heart. One of the great problems that so many people have is right here, and we're going to see this. And I'm finding just every now and then an article come out in a paper that touches on some things that are being found in regard to the soul, the heart, that relates also then to the body. And we're going to look at that, which profits our whole being, mind, body, and soul, and profits our life here on earth, but also is going to be a profit up here. And people, if something can be a profit to you down here, and be a prophet to us up here, that's powerful. And that's something that we would, I want to concentrate on that. We spend a lot of time, because the body is important, but we spend a lot of time and money on health. And the thing about that is that no matter what we do, we're still going to get older. You can't fight that one. And gravity's still always going to have its pull. You understand what I mean? And then when we die, it's all over anyway. But here's something that we're going to look at that is a prophet on earth and to every part of our being, inside of us, our relationships, and a prophet up here. And I tell you again, I think one of the most things I'm the most thankful for to God is the journey that He has brought me in when He took me into John 13 to the new commandment to love as Christ loved, and that caused me to ask the question myself in the late 80s, how is this to be? And that, of course, brought me to faith directed toward the Holy Spirit. Had a wonderful conversation this afternoon. Had a man come over to check would be the best word. Check the foundation of my house. Because when I bought it, it was really bad. They put in some things, and I want to get it where the world is still good and everything. And he was going through, and he has all kinds of little gadgets and stuff. But he was working in the office and doing different things. And I started preaching. We got into a really good discussion on faith in the Holy Spirit and the issue of spiritual love. And it was just a really wonderful conversation with the man. But this is something that is just so powerful. This is the goal. This is the objective. Okay, let's move to our study of where it's a prophet. 1 Corinthians 13, if you want to turn it, fine, but let me just give it to you because you're familiar with the phrase. And if I give all my possessions, we're in verse 3, to feed the poor, and this is where we left off. I give my possessions to feed the poor. We spent some time now last week on this. I want to finish it up. I thought about just letting it go, but I'm not going to do that. We talked last week about giving. We talked about the issue here is not the condition of the receiver, but the condition of the giver. And that's what's really important. Giving is fundamental to Christianity. We saw that last week. So let's just pick it up from that point. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor. Fundamental to the expression of spiritual love. You remember in Galatians chapter 2 that Paul even mentioned that this was one of the issues. Look at 1 John with me a moment. Let's just to get into the momentum here. 1 John, there's so many places we could go and look. But to the poor is one of the only three that I can find of what we'll call biblical giving in Scripture and in the New Testament. And giving to the poor is certainly one of them. And the condition of giving to the poor is based on need. And you see someone in need, and this makes it very clear. 1 John chapter 3, we'll start with one of my favorite verses, 16. We know love by this, not by definition, but by action, the description and the environment that it creates. We know love by this, that He, Jesus Christ, laid down His life for our benefit. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother, fellow believer, in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word, with tongue, but in deed and truth. Now, truth is the truth of the gospel. You recall when you see that. That means in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. So, in our action. So this becomes one of the areas of giving that we have in Scripture, giving to the poor. It's a fundamental expression of spiritual love. It's a fundamental issue in spiritual love. And again, I like to, when we can do these things, it makes it very clear for you. When I say things like that, God saw us when we were poor in spirit. We were poor, destitute of any spiritual things, and God gave to us His Son, and God gave to us His Spirit. So what I'm showing you is that this is fundamental to Christianity. Now, I was going to spend some time tonight, and one reason, just to make use of the time I spent last week or so, when I did all the reading and stuff, but in seminary I took some courses on Hinduism, Buddhism, and one other one, and Hinduism, Buddhism, and the Muslims. And what is interesting, it's fundamental to them too. It's fundamental to their whole deal. In fact, in the Hindu religion, the poor are there by God's direct, by their God, Allah's direct being, so that you can be blessed if you will give to them. And the poor, if you can appreciate this, the poor actually have a status. And they actually have places on the street corner. Like if this is a really important street corner, and you happen to be able to stand here, that's your place, and nobody can take that until you die. And this is a status poor person, and the people drive out and give them money. They will do that because if they give this poor person money, they're going to have greater rewards in all of this. And this is true of all three of those, Buddhism, Hinduism, and the Muslim religion. Now, what sets us apart? What sets us apart, people, is this whole issue of spiritual life. It is not just a matter of giving. It's not a matter of giving. It is a matter of what's going on in your soul, and that's what I want to appreciate. It is not the condition of the one who receives that is at issue. What is at issue is the condition, the spiritual condition of the one who gives, of the giver. What's going on in your soul? Are you doing it out of the momentum of spiritual love, or are you giving out of the flesh? So this is a great issue to the rich young ruler. In fact, this is the one that finally got him. He came and said, what do I have to do to enter the kingdom of God? And so he came to Christ, if you remember, came to him on the basis of law and said, what do I do? All right, you come to Jesus Christ, come to God, and he will answer you from wherever you come to him from. Okay, you come to him from the basis of law, then that's where you'll get your answer, from the basis of law. Okay, keep the law. Keep the whole law. Okay, he said, I did it, which was a really profound statement. I did. I kept the whole law. Well, Christ knew there was one area he hadn't, and one area to get him, because he was a rich young ruler. He said, okay, give all. Give all you have to the poor, which is what we have in our passage. If I give everything I own. Okay. This is where he blew it. And I can't do that. I can't do that. Not going to do that. So instead, and where was he? He was where we studied in Isaiah 28, stumbles, fall backwards, taken captive. That's taken in the snare. That's where he was, in the snare of the law. And it killed him because he wouldn't turn to grace. And he walked away. But this is the one that did it, got him. Because he couldn't do it. Why couldn't he do it? Because he knew he did not have this love. He did not have the love to give. All those things. So this is where he was. So giving to the poor can become very evil, people. It can become very evil. Now what do I mean by that? Because by giving, you could actually mock God. Now, how do we mock God? We mock God when we try to earn from God because of what we do. Now, you got to watch this. Because it's going to sound like, when we come to this last phrase, it profits me nothing. It's going to sound like, okay, aren't we giving to finally earn a profit from God? If you say that, you miss the whole thing. Because you're not profiting because you gave. You're profiting because you did what? All right, let's look at the passage. 1 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians 13. Let's look at verse 3. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor and deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So what are we going to be profited by? And for what? For loving. That's what we're going to be profited by. Splitting hairs? Oh, people, it's a difference between Buddhism and Christianity. It's a difference between Hinduism and Christianity. It's a difference between all the religions of the world. And it's even a difference between a Christian who understands the spiritual life and those that understand works. What we're talking about right here is the whole difference. We are not rewarded or profited because we give. I hope that if you walk away with nothing else in your soul tonight, you're not profited because you give. You're profited because you love, as Jesus Christ loved. There's the profit, right there. I hope that'll sink in as we go through and develop all of this. You are going to be profited. We're going to study what that means both in your life now and in eternity. But I can just tell you right now, the crowns, all the crowns have this word related to them, and I'll show you. It's not a matter of giving. It's a matter of love. Love will motivate the giving. But if I give, as is the case with religions of the world, who, if you listen to their sermons on this section, and you listen to a Christian, a general concept of a Christian in this section, you would think they're both very, very much alike. But they're very different. Very different. Because we are not rewarded because we have given. We are not profited because we give. We are profited because we love as He loved. It's a demonstration of His life. And that's a big, big difference as far as understanding the religions of the world and understanding the heart of Christianity. It's the basis of this reward is being our love. So, how do we mock God? We mock God and we make a mockery of God if we say, I'm going to earn from God because I am going to give to the poor. I'm going to give to the poor, I will earn something from God. You have just made a mockery of God. You don't buy God, people, by giving. That's not the way it's going to be done. That makes a mockery of our God. If it was a matter of that poor person, He would just make the poor rich. He could do that. So this is making a mockery of God. I'm going to profit my life by giving. I'm going to earn something from God by giving. I'm going to impress God or others. You might impress others, by the way. You won't impress those who understand truth. But as far as the truth is concerned, you're not going to gain anything by giving if there's no spiritual love there. Okay, what does this make? Spiritual love. Look what it says. And if I give my possessions to feed the poor but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So what we're looking at is a study that we have seen and that I've given a lot of times and a lot of ways, but I just want you to have it in your mind. What is it then that's going to take when I reach into my pocket and I give to someone, regardless of their condition? When I give to someone over here, and generally we'll speak in terms of another believer, and what is the real issue? And the real issue is not the giving, not how much. The real issue is, am I doing it in the power of or the force of spiritual love? Is love there? Or am I doing it for me? Am I doing it for my pride, to control, to impress, to swash guilt, to be altruistic? Whatever the reasons may be, and you know, I'm human like everyone else, and you watch it, the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, and everybody came and gave at the end. You watch those kind of movies and you get chills and you go, oh, that's so warm and love and wonderful. And, you know, okay, but when you're sitting here in the spiritual realm, all of that is nothing. It profits nothing at all. And there are a lot of movies and a lot of stories and books on the virtue of giving. And that's what it is. It's a human virtue. This is not a human virtue. This is spiritual power. That's the difference. I'm not talking about a spiritual, about a human virtue. I'm talking about a spiritual power, a spiritual force working inside of us that motivates to give. And it's done in spiritual life. And when it's done here, often even the receiver will know that it's done in love. But angels also are watching, and angels are learning. So I just want you to be sure that we understand in this area of giving, that giving is not the issue. The person you're giving to is not the issue. What the issue is, are you giving in the power of the love of God? And that's what he's looking for. And that's the only way this is going to profit anyone at any time. So giving is not going to be. Now, what is it about love? Well, people, when we talk about this love, we're talking about the love of God that is the issue in the spiritual warfare. And it is the love of God that takes, and we'll just stay with giving right now, that takes giving, and it is just our little process machine, and it takes your giving, and it goes through this force, spiritual force, the spiritual force of spiritual love, and transforms this giving into gold, transforms this giving into something that will glorify God. And only love can do that. I don't care how many movies are made. I don't care how many preachers and churches and things it gives. If it's not done in the power of spiritual love, people, it doesn't matter. It's this that transforms this. I like the word alchemize. That it alchemizes it. It takes this common. And people, it is common. That's why I talked to you a moment ago about the Buddhists, the Muslims, and these people, and the Hindus. It's common. I hardly can think there would be a religion, and in our religion course in seminary, we certainly didn't study every religion in the world, but it would be hard to conceive a religion that didn't have as a groundwork giving. But giving isn't the issue. That is a common theme. Any parent that doesn't teach their child to give, and boy, I've even jumped here to the human realm, and you just do that. You just teach them that. Growing up, we had so many aunts and uncles, I can't remember how many. And every Christmas, we had to get them something. It may be, I know my Uncle Frank has 50,000 handkerchiefs from all of us. You know, but I'm sure the man could not, he probably opened up a handkerchief store somewhere. Really probably did. But we had to give something. Just something you just take. Thank you for being my uncle, or whatever. It's common. Oh, well, there's a virtue in it. Humanly speaking, yeah. Spiritually, no. Before God, this is just a common rock. See, what alchemy is, alchemists, what they would do is they take common things, and what they wanted to do was transform them into gold so they could make gold. Because they had a reason that there is some process in their mind that turned the ground into gold. It didn't occur to them, God put gold there in gold state. No, gold over millions or whatever years, gold came out of whatever is there on the earth, common things in the earth. Okay? So what we need to do is rush and speed up that time frame and find the right formula, and they call it the Philosopher's Stone. Find the proper formula, and then it will come out, and we'll have gold. And people, men, gave up their lives. And here's one place, ladies, you don't want to be included. What about women? No, I don't want too many alchemist women. You better be happy. So men gave up fortunes for this. I was excited reading about one of these, and David Smith and I were on a trip, and I, hey, David, this is a great read this. He read a couple of pages and said, fine, I think I'll find something else to read. But it just is a, it's a, these people were looking. Now, who are the modern alchemists? The modern alchemists are the religious people today, not only the Buddhists, the Hindus, and the Muslims, but Christianity, where they haven't gotten on to spirituality by faith in the Spirit. How can I get the right formula of giving and praying and going to church and all of these things, put it all together, and come out with gold before God? And they're all looking for the right balance of this and the right balance of that, just like an alchemist. Well, it didn't work. Maybe I used too much horse hair. Maybe I have too many eggs. One guy, I think, used 10,000 eggs, people, for his alchemist experiment, and he decided, well, I should have just used the oak. I should have just used this. I should have just used that. And they, because they believe it. So what is the spiritual force that's going to take this common rock of giving, and people, it is common. It's not unique to Christianity. That's what I tried to show you. That's why I almost bought all that stuff and read to you. But I hope you just, you know, either you know it or you trust. It's a fundamental part of the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Hindus. It's a fundamental part. It's common. We want to make it something that's acceptable to our God when we give. And people, you don't have to hunt. It's not a mystery. It's very simple. Just have it alchemized by spiritual life. In other words, when you give, you're walking in the Holy Spirit by faith, and He will pour spiritual love in you, and that love will transform whatever you do into this gold that will glorify Him. So this is something that is so important. So, what are you saying? I'm saying that spiritual love is essential in giving, which means what? It means that the spiritual life by faith is absolutely necessary. When I was talking to that gentleman today in my home, this was the whole thing. What is the most important doctrine, teaching for the Christian? We know what the most important teaching for the non-Christian is. That is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. In other words, how to be saved. The most crucial teaching for the Christian is how to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that I can have the fruit of the Spirit. It's crucial. And this is why it keeps coming up in Scripture over and over and over and over and over. Trust the Spirit and He will do this. But very few preachers see it. And very few Christians live that way. So the spiritual love is this alchemizing force that converts, transforms into something valuable our giving. Spiritual love is that alchemizing force that takes giving, turns it into something valuable. It makes you, this is beautiful, people, and we're talking about prophets mean, it makes you useful in the plan of God. Now, people, we're going to look at it probably, but the widow's mite. Don't sit here and think when we're talking about giving, I don't have anything to give. It's not the amount. It's not the amount. It's the love that motivates that amount. All the widow had was a mite. And one time, we really need to just spend some time and study on that, because if you haven't read it and looked at it and studied it, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who owns everything, did not walk up to that poor lady. I would have been for, and look, we really don't need this. You need it. You take this and take care of you yourself. Christ didn't do it. Christ said, just put it in there. Eat it. Here's the, you know, be rich, Jesus Christ. And He said, leave it there. Why? Because had He given it back to her, He would have been cutting her out of this gold. He would have been cutting her out of the profit to her soul in time and eternity. He would have been cheating her. And He didn't do that. So what spiritual love does, it transforms whatever we're doing. The issue is not the amount, the condition of the person you give. They are never the issue here. The issue is the giver. And the issue with the giver is spiritual life. You're loving as Christ loved it. It's that love that will transform it. Now, where there is, let's go to another way of looking at this. Where there is no giving, there is no love. Now, James is a difficult book for a lot of people. Because James talks about faith and works. He talks about faith without works. He talks about works without faith. And what James is doing, it causes a lot of problems to people. What James is saying is this. Look, here's spiritual love. There are things that spiritual love will not do. I look in your assembly. I see in your assembly that you're showing partiality. Partiality is the absence of love. Therefore, I know you're not walking by faith, because faith in the Holy Spirit produces spiritual love, which will not produce partiality. I know that. So, if in your soul there is no giving as far as your life is concerned, and don't just think in terms of money, but certainly think in those terms. If there is no giving, then people know spiritual love. And what has to happen? I want to comment on this. What has to happen to a lot of people, each one of us people, you have to appreciate this. Each one of us is different. There are some of us who have no problem in giving. Our problem is we want to be sure we're in spiritual life. There are other people who giving is not part of their upbringing or of their flesh makeup. And their problem is to walk in the Spirit and allow the Spirit to transform them into proper type of giving. So their journey, I say this not so you can judge somebody, people. Be very careful taking the position of James. Your faith is dead. I would be very careful. I'm not in that position to judge people. I do know what spiritual love looks like, and I know what it doesn't look like. But to judge people is very, very, that's a very touchy thing. I'd be very careful doing that. But where there is no giving, there is no spiritual love, because the very foundation of spiritual love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So where there is spiritual love, you will see giving. And so God is working. And this is one thing I want to do every now and then, start picking up various people that Christ worked with or dealt with in his life. And each one he was taken on a journey of faith. One man, as I told you before, one man said, "Heal my son, but come to the house to do it." "I believe you can do it, but you got to be at the house." Okay, so come walk with me. Christ said, "I'm not walking with you. Your son's healed, go. You got to walk alone. As though I'm not there in silence." So he's got the walking from Christ to his home is the journey that a lot of Christians have to make. Do I really trust him that will do it? Do I really trust him? Another man came and said to Jesus Christ, "Heal my son." "No, you don't even need to go. Just say the word." Christ said, "I want to walk with you." And one woman comes and says, "Relieve my daughter of the demon," which is very important. The daughter, demon, a lot of things going on. She's a Gentile woman. And your Savior does some phenomenal things to people. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. But he says, "Here's a woman. Take and remove it. I know you can do it." She's a Christian. She's a believer. "I know you can do it. Remove the demon from my daughter." Didn't even answer her. People, he didn't even answer. Yes or no. He did worse than either of those. If you want to use the word worse in quotes. He just kept on walking. And if you don't see what he's doing with her faith, you won't understand the church. And you won't understand the journey that he's taking the church on. Each little episode I'm learning, each little vignette that we have with Christ and people is working on his faith. And giving is so important here. So where there is no giving, we know there is no spiritual love. See, spiritual love, the Bible describes the environment where love is present. The Bible doesn't define love. And that's what I love about the Bible here. Doesn't define it. We can't get into a battle of defining. the Bible describes it. It describes an environment where spiritual love exists. In a home, in a marriage, in a bedroom, in a kitchen, in a living room. All you have to do is look at the environment. Look at the environment, look at your addition to the environment in your bedroom, in your living room, in your kitchen. Look at what you add to the environment at work. Look what you add to the environment in the local assembly. And you will know whether you're doing spiritual love or not. Nobody has to tell you. For the eyes that will see, it creates an environment. Spiritual love does this. And where there is spiritual love, there is giving. So this becomes so important in this area. Now I want to move to the area of the prophet. I want to give this. Let's see, if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, let me make a few comments about the word all. And I have more here to say on the alchemizing, but I want to move to this. If I give all, okay, if you want to kind of rope some points here, one, there is no merit in itself in giving all to the point where you become a hardship case yourself. There is no merit in itself in giving everything you own to where you become a hardship case yourself. Two, where does the idea of giving all come from? Where does the idea, and I've already given you a hint if you're paying attention, where does the idea of giving all even come from? Where does that come from? No. What did Jesus say to the rich young ruler? And where was Jesus Christ coming from? I'm talking with him. And from what basis? Law. Law, people, demand the giving of all. And remember that. And remember that. Now, what's the difference? Because we know something about giving, and God gave all he owned, all he had, he gave his son. So what's the difference? The law demands it. You have to do it. Or, what did we study about law? If you don't keep all the law, what does the law do? Condemns you to die. Okay? Or, you die. That's what law does. We saw that in Galatians chapter 2. I died to the law. What does that mean? I did not keep all the law, and so therefore the law pronounced judgment of death. And Jesus Christ took that judgment, and we died with him as the law. So therefore, when we rose again, the law no longer has any jurisdiction over us and cannot rule us. So the law demands this. Now, let me show you the difference. But where there is spiritual love, it's not a matter of a demand. Spiritual love motivates to do this. It motivates to give. And if it's to give all, then it's to give all. Now, why is that true? What did we learn about spiritual love? We learned that spiritual love will do whatever is necessary to reconcile a person in their relationship with God, do whatever is necessary to help that person. So, sometimes giving all will be. That's rare in history, but not. It's not that it isn't ever done. So this is why spiritual love will motivate. If that's what I have to give, I will give all. If that's what it's going to take, I will do it. But that's not what, if we're living under law, then we're going to have to come under this idea a lot in our lives. But we don't live under law. So Christians are under no bond, no law, no shackle. Well, you ought to give everything you own to the Lord. If you really love the Lord, you give all. No, don't do that to yourself or to others. But the Holy Spirit will lead in spiritual love when it is to be given. So point two, where does the ideal of giving all come from? It comes from law. It does not come from God's system of grace and love. Will God give all? Yes, he did at the cross. This is the giving of God. He gave his son. gave it all. But it was not because of law. It was because of love. There's the difference. Law demands you give all. Love will motivate that you give all. So you can do it by demand, or you die, or you do it by love. Okay, 3. Giving all is not what is expected of every believer by God. Giving all is not what is expected for every believer by God. Giving 10% is not what is expected by God. Giving a certain percentage is not what is expected by God. Giving under and through the power and direction of the Holy Spirit, that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for a percentage of our giving. He's not looking for an amount that we give. What He is looking for, you give under the direction of the Holy Spirit, pouring in spiritual love, and out of that spiritual love, you therefore give. People, this is powerful. This is powerful stuff. To give out of the power of God the Holy Spirit, to pour in this love. This right here is what God is looking for when you and I give. When you and I give in the assembly, when you and I may give to somebody in life, poor person, or a person that needs it, doesn't need it, those things are not the issue. There are 3 areas of giving. You give in the New Testament that I can find. We give to the poor based on need. We give to the pastor, call him pastor teacher, based on what you receive, what he gives to you, the truth of the gospel or not. And 3, we give to missionary evangelists to share or be a part of their work outside of the local church. This is why we have those areas of giving. So, point 4. The standard is not how much. And I want to add to that. Nor is the standard how sacrificially you give. It's kind of weird. I would feel sorry for the person who thinks this way, but, well, I'll never be able to give the widow's mite because I got millions. Poor me. Well, we'll all get together and have a prayer meeting for you. You can give the widow's mite, you get all the money, and guess what? We'll pray it'll go. So, my point being is, it's not a matter. Well, I really can't give sacrificially. Or I got to give this much, and all of these types of things. The standard is not how much you give. The standard is not how sacrificially you give. You do not love God more because you give more, people. You do not love God more because you give sacrificially. We love God because we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit pours in His love through us to others. That's what 1 John is about. So this is the things that we're dealing with in this whole area of giving. Giving is so important in the Christian life, but boy, is it really fouled up in the area of giving. 5, you are not loved more of God because of the amount you give or because you give sacrificially. We are loved by God in that very personal, intimate way by loving Him. We'll see this in John 14 and 1 John 3. I'll show you that when we get there. 6. As a person grows in walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, the more you will give at times in your life. You might even be motivated to give sacrificially. Because how did Christ give? People, Christ gave sacrificially. Don't ever forget that. He gave sacrificially to Himself for the benefit of others. And some of you may be called on to do that. Some of you may not. And you can't go through life and say, well, I never really was called on it. And, you know, and then you get into, well, maybe you were doing something else when He called. I mean, that would be my quick reply. Well, I was never called to give everything. That just strikes with an arrogance about it. Well, you probably weren't picking up the phone that day. You had your answering machine turned off. But I do believe that there will be Christians that might, through their whole life, not be called on to give sacrificially. But basically, in the maybe within the area of money, but in some other area, you will, because love gives sacrificially. So we will do that. Point seven. Do not come to the wrong conclusion that only when a believer gives all, or only when a believer gives sacrificially, are they giving in love. That is wrong. That is law. People, don't use law in your giving. Use the standard of what's going on in my soul. What's going on in my soul? When the issue comes up to give, I'm going to make this very clear. When you have to give to husband, to wife, family, friends, church, somebody on the street, just every giving you can imagine, the great issue is not here. The great issue is here. Is your soul. When you come across these occasions, what's going on in your soul? This does not mean, talking to a friend just recently, doesn't mean that every time somebody comes with a handout that the Holy Spirit is going to say yes. Doesn't mean that. Don't let anybody put you under law. Doesn't mean that. But what we have to do is not look at, well, I don't want to give to this person because of that, or this person because of that. No, we have to just look. Walk in the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit. People, the Holy Spirit wouldn't even let Paul go into certain regions to teach the gospel. So please understand that there'll be times in this whole area of giving, and if you truly are walking in the Spirit, you won't be motivated to give. There'll be times when you're walking in the Spirit, you will be motivated to give. Here is the great issue. You and your relationship with God, in this case, God the Holy Spirit. And this right here is what God is looking at. This will be the manifestation of it. This will, if someone said to me, I'm never motivated by God to give, then I know I'm with James. A person's faith is dead. But there'll be cases where, no, not here, here, that, and go through it. But right here is the great issue. And this has to be where you and I deal with this whole area of giving. All right, point eight. Point eight I've already talked to you about. It's the widow's mite. And what I want to do is just turn that into a study. And so we'll save that for a study of its own. Let's go now to the prophet. I give all my possessions to feed the poor, but do not have love. That is spiritual love. It profits me nothing. Now, this is where we want to talk. Profit. It profits me nothing. Well, and you can hear these people. I don't do things for profit. I don't give for profit. I don't give for gain. I don't do this, and I don't do that. Let me orient you to the whole study here, and I know my time is already passing right by. I don't know how many of you, I think we've looked at it. If we haven't, just let me know, because we should. David, everybody knows David is going to go against the giant. David's going to go against Goliath. I hope if we've looked at it, you know, but very few Christians know. Three times he asked, what do I get if I do it? Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, no. He wouldn't do that. David fought that giant, just him and God. Three times, people. What's the profit now? What's the reward now? I got another one for you. If I wanted to prolong this study, we could take this for a long time, because this is an important part here. Do you know why Jesus Christ went to the cross for us? Because he considered the prophet on the other side. This is not a bad thing. This is not a wrong motivation. It can be, but it isn't a wrong motivation in itself. To And if it were, why, if it, let's just say this. If this were a bad motivation, why then did God set it up that he was going to give us eternal rewards? If it is bad to desire them. People, I do desire crowns in heaven. I hope you do. We desire to glorify God. Let's go back here. Let's go back to what we're getting ready for Sunday morning. It's a very important study Sunday morning. Let's go back. Show you what's going on here. Now let's see. Down here. Let's go back. Here's earth. We're talking about two places. Here's earth, and here's the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom of God. People, right down here on planet earth, in the flesh, by walking in this flesh, you can earn rewards, crowns, if you please, that will glorify God throughout eternity in the kingdom of God. Do you not want to do that? Do you only have the eye? Well, we're only here to glorify him in this place. People start, what you want to do is get your mindset. This is where I live. I live in the kingdom of God. Remember, Paul said the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. That's why so many Christians get so bogged down on all the things related to the earth. Oh, you can't dress that way. You can't act that way. You can't do this. You can't do that. And da, 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 da. And Paul says it's not eating and drinking. It's not all this stuff. It's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, producing this love. So, you and I can live right here, up here, right now. Right now, this is what Christ is going to say to Nicodemus. Nicodemus can't get these things clear. And most Christians can't. They can't think in terms of the spiritual, only in terms of the earth. We can't think in terms of the earth. We've got to live in the terms of the eternal kingdom of God. This is where you and I are going to be forever and ever and ever. People do a lot of things to build up for their old age on earth and worry about it and worry about Social Security and worry about this and worry about that, and I want to take care of myself and give no thought to the eternal kingdom of God. And every one of you in this room who have believed in Christ as Savior, you're going to be there forever and ever. Our time on earth is so difficult to comprehend. It is just a sigh. It's when you start getting my age and you realize it is just that, boy, it goes quick. It goes quickly. But young people, it's very difficult to comprehend. Life is short. This is forever. And so we want to start thinking in this realm. We want to start functioning in this realm, not in this realm. You know, this whole false thing that Job was in, God gives to those on earth that are good, and he disciplines those who are bad, and that's the way most Christians think. That's so wrong and evil, and you know that. But it's true in the spiritual realm. If you walk in the spiritual life down here, people don't look for your rewards here. Don't look for them here. You might have some physically, and that's wonderful. You will have some spiritually. But don't look for them physically here. Anticipate, here's where hope comes in, this is Doctrine of Hope, up here. This is where you want them. This is where you want the profit. Now, we're going to look next 2 weeks from now at this whole idea of profit. Earth, because spiritual love profits you on earth. And I'm going to show you that. Spiritual love profits you in the eternal kingdom of God. This is something that God has given to us, spiritual love, that functions in both realms. It functions in the kingdom of God and on earth. And that's why, and I'll show you, the crowns all have this word related to them. Those who loved him. Those who loved him. See? And where faith comes in, faith is related to the earth, but the reason that faith becomes an issue is because faith expresses itself in love, Galatians chapter 5. This is what we're looking for. So you want something that is going to be dynamic and be profitable to your life now, spiritual life. You want something that's dynamic and profitable to you forever and ever in the kingdom of God? It's love. It's His love. And this is why, this is where we want to deal with. Okay, start in the word of prayer. Give us eyes to see, Heavenly Father, and ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. In our homes, work, social, church, every area of our life. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.